Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and today's show, True Love, Empower Your Inner Self. I have the pleasure of welcoming your host, Karim Kerr, MBA, certified trainer, personal coach, and consultant with 20 years of experience in people and services administration management. Currently, she conducts self-love empowerment and motivational seminars. Karim also gives personal coaching sessions to local and international clients on self-love empowerment. Karim and her husband own a homeopathic clinic in Malaysia. She is now working toward uplifting and empowering people of all ages. Her intention is to inspire love that brings peace to humanity and Mother Nature. On her show, where she will discuss methods, tools, and use her own personal experience and teachings to help you engage yourself in true love, work with true love energy, help you look within, and work with true love to have an enjoyable and happy, blissful life. And now I'd like to welcome your host, Karim.
Hi, Courtney. Good day.
Hi. Hello. So I know in the last several shows that we've talked about several chapters of your book, and today I know we will be talking about your third chapter of the book, which is Moment of Truth. And I really thought that that was an inspirational and very empowering statement to title a chapter. You know, Moment of Truth, it can mean so many different things to different people. So would you like to talk about why you called the chapter that? Like what led you to that? What inspired you?
Yes, of course. what struck me when I decided to state the title Moment of Truth was actually it's related to, of course, the very inner self, but this is got to do with, I believe it's most of us go through this moment of losing loved ones, and it's got to do with that, and it's got to do with losing something in life. So my title, it is relatively, this chapter is about how I deal with relationship with myself, with understanding about that, because I have seen many in my life. And so it is becoming a factual thing that how do I understand this particular moment in my life that it keeps coming back, and I have to pick up myself again. So when I started practicing about loving myself over the years, this moment has captured me to understand, to detach, to understand the role of every human being when, you know, when they face that or they are losing their loved ones in any sense, in terms of their relationship. So it's actually a very significant experience to every individual. That's what my personal experience has made me to understand, that God, universe, almighty power, whatever, in every terms we look at the higher one, it's always within us, but it gives us the strength to know that the truth is we cannot let it go. It's always there in front of our eyes. How do we deal with it? So yeah, by loving ourselves and empowering our inner self by true love, we deal with much calmness, detachment, and understanding towards this nature of life.
You know, I thought that this chapter was very powerful because in a lot of ways, I felt your vulnerability. You know, you really talk about the loss of your father and the loss of your mother, and you do talk about, you know, your family dynamic. And some people don't feel comfortable with really airing that, you know, really putting that out there. So where did you find, you know, the strength and the courage to put that out there and really acknowledge it and share that with the world? I mean, it's a really vulnerable chapter in some ways.
Oh, yes. It's actually, when I started writing this particular chapter, it's like I put myself an intention. What is the intention of me sharing this particular chapter? The intention was healing. The intention was to love the self, to bring back to reality. How do we move on with our life? So I have went through it. I understand that how do I pick up my pieces and how do I practice it, and what sort of emotions and mental abilities I have to have within me, because life doesn't end here. It takes a lot of courage to write this. Of course, there is an effect of this as well towards the family. And I mean, the thing is, like, when I was writing this and I told myself that it's a kid, I'm willing to stand for it and I want everyone to relate, because today's in everybody's life, families, friends, or anyone that we know, it becomes a secret of individuals, what they go through, they do not share out, and that doesn't become a healing space for them. When that doesn't become a healing space for them, so it's difficult for them to understand what is love all about. And the sense of being oneness with one another, to me, it's very important to be open and receptive and acknowledge to the moment that we say. I always believe there's always something that we will come through to face it when we say something truthful, because I have gone through this many times. But I also believe that this is something to clear. In order to clear, we look at all these reflections that we receive, whether it's negative and positive, it's only for our inner good. So, yeah, I'm not saying everything is perfect. There's lots of things I had to go through to write this.
Well, you know, honestly, it kind of sounds like by writing this chapter, it was a healing process for you. So did you feel, you know, that was the way it was, that it was a process of healing and a process of relief or release? Because, you know, a lot of times I know with writers, you know, sometimes we have to get it all out there in order to find that release and find what we're looking for.
Yeah, it is. It very much relates to moving ahead steps. Just to share on recently, basically about 2 months ago, I actually lost my spiritual teacher, and it was another impact, and I think it's the seventh or sixth death happened in my life, and he's like who I love so unconditionally, and he has impacted my life so much. So the fact that this healing process that I've written, it's, yes, most of the writers go through. Coming back of losing, for example, my spiritual teacher, it's a significant role we have in our life. And it happened so suddenly, we didn't expect it to happen, but naturally we accept it as a law of nature, where I believe that he has made all of us prepare for this. But when I saw his body, I didn't have a single tear, to be honest with you. It was very, I was looking at it in a sense of like, okay, why am I not crying? You know, so it just really like, why am I not crying? Is it because that it is in shock, or is it because then when I, you know, we went to 3 days funeral, and of course the third day was like there was a little bit of tears. But after that, I keep moving and understanding that how come this time I didn't have any tears in my eyes when this person has made so much impact in my life. And I realized that whatever I've written in the book, that it was a journey. My dad's death was very, very tough for me, because I did went through a short time of depression. And to overcome that, because that was a bigger shock, and to overcome it and again to receive this was a transition to see that I have grown and above. So, yes, writing that was a really big healing for me.
That's a very powerful statement, you know, because you talk a lot about the loss of your father in this chapter and the experience of that. And, you know, to go from that type of experience to losing your spiritual teacher, you know, based on what you're saying, the experiences were completely different for you, you know. And for the listeners who haven't read, you know, your book yet, and I highly encourage them to do so, what was that experience like for you, for, you know, the loss of a parent? Because you talk so much about true love and that energy and really focusing on that. So from your perspective, how did you deal with that experience?
Yes. When I found out what was the true love within us, it's because that when I went through all this journey of losing the loved one, and it begins with my mom, okay, and it begins after that with my grandmother who died on my birthday, and I was very close with her. And then, of course, I have a very close uncle, and, you know, and also my dad, and I have few other ones that who I'm very close to. So, basically, when I realize each time, especially when my grandmother, when I got married from after my first marriage, and exactly after a month, and she was actually going through, she was old, but I didn't expect her to go because I know she was very strong. But the best part, what I experienced in my life, that she died on my birthday. And when she died on my birthday, that impacted me very deeply because I loved her unconditionally and I didn't expect her to go. And I was angry with the universe that why did you have to take away that only moment in my life that I'm be happy about is on my birthday. But this is going to be the rest of my life, the thing that the woman that who has been with me and who taught me to have faith in God, we have taken her on the day that is very important to me. And I was 22 years old. So living without a mom was really a big tragedy. And having that gone at that age was another impact. And when I had to deal with this, I had to overcome things in life to understand, to heal myself, which I can't relate it with anyone. So coming back to my dad, it was another shock. Because I didn't see him, when he died, I didn't see him practically for nearly 9 months. That is because that I didn't have problems with him. We had problems with the family. And that made me very upset. So I told him that, give me time and we will come back, because he was staying in a state about 200 kilometers away from my working place. And I was picking up my life as a single mom, and I got a new job and stuff like that. You know, to pick up myself. I had debt to do, and I was really concentrating. But the last time that I saw him, he was all right. From the time he knew that I'm not going to come back, I said, give me time, and I will be back after a few months or when I feel better, you know. But all right. But what he started doing, he started calling me every day. And he started calling me every day, and he asked me, how are you? Are you all right? I said, I'm fine. And he has not done this over the years. So this happened the year that he passed away, and it was the last moment. And I never understood. After a few months, and I was asking him, Daddy, why are you every day calling me? You know, because he was like, I didn't expect it. And he said, no, I just want to hear your voice. I felt a shrink in my feelings, you know. I know I was missing him. I had not seen him for a few months. But I was busy picking up my, you know, trying to clear stuff in my life. So when he said that, it just didn't struck me that he was really sick. And I was not notified by anyone. I know he was always on, you know, he was not well. But I didn't know that he was in a wheelchair. I was not aware of it until I seen him 1 month before he died. So what happened was, like, my daughter was diagnosed for a sinus surgery, and she was on the eat. And so happened that I didn't want her to go to, so I went through a homeopathy treatment. That time my husband was my boyfriend, and I had my spiritual teacher for healing. And I decided to go back first before actually agreed to the surgery, because she was too young. So that's when my dad was saying, why do you bring her back? I said, okay. So when I went back, it was a big shock to see me seeing him, for me to see him in a so weak, and he could walk, but he had to sit. And I was like, why didn't you tell me? He said, no, I didn't want you to worry. And I said, oh, okay, if you're talking about money, I know I have some funds. No, he said, I don't want you to disturb your funds. I know you need it for yourself. So it was I was really going through a moment, like, dealing with my daughter's problem. And on top of saving the condition was two things to go with. And he was like, I don't feel right, but I was thinking, maybe for that moment is for me to understand. So I was practicing, of course, loving myself, but yet it was not in the right sense, because you know something wasn't right. And when I came back, it was like less than a few, 2 weeks. And the next thing I know, he was in ICU and he was gone. So before that, he did say, can you come back for the, there was a Diwali celebration. And I said I couldn't because there was again another, some problem raised in the family. So I didn't see him after that. And that's the last time I saw him. So, you know, and the last time, is usually I will give him money. And that particular time when I saw him, I said, Dad, I don't have enough. Can I come the next time and give you? When he was gone, I felt very bad. I felt not only shocked by his gone, you know, when he went off. And what I found out that he called all my stepsisters except me at the last moment and saying that I'm going for a hospital now. So I over the years, I asked, why he didn't call me that morning? And of course, this I've not written in the book. But I found out that he has called me every day because I guess he knew that he was going. So when that realization kept coming to see me, it got deeper inside me, the sadness, the fear of really lost him, the guilt, you know, the anger, the frustration, and all these things. It's like I felt separated from my father for unforeseen reasons. So by writing it there, I worked on myself deeply. I really, really worked. And, of course, I cried along the way and I asked God to give me an understanding of this thing that happened in my life because it seemed to be eating me up in that moment, knowing that I started loving myself. It was very dark and dirty moment that I went through. So the true love that when I started loving myself, in healing, the connection between me and my dad has brought me more to understanding what is the relative fact of
less within us. Well, you also talked about the loss of your father and, you know, turning to God, that, you know, you felt encouraged to turn to God during that situation. And I guess my question that, you know, for you in that sense is what led you to go in that direction? Because some people who experience loss, you know, will turn to that direction, you know, who God or their faith or who they believe in. But some tend to take that loss to a darker place or a very angry place or, you know, depression or resent. You know, they take it to another level. So what kind of steered you to go in such a positive direction towards God? What puts you in that path?
Okay. Well, of course, it falls down that when I wanted to take my life, so I turned to God because I knew I didn't have any solution out there for myself. So in the end of the day, it also reflected to that moment to understand why I still have this pain inside me when I was really loving myself. And it shows that, you know, I have not fully healed inside me. So in the end of the day, I know it's not anyone who's going to be able to help me. It's only divine nature who's going to help me to understand this truth. And knowing that, you know, we don't have a reality of like God appears as a human being or, you know, give us a telephone call like human to human talk. So I know it's going to be a challenge to understand the whole phenomena. But I took it in a sense of my daily prayers when I was practicing on doing my affirmations on my self-positive talks and every sense that put me in alignment so that the healing becomes prominent and to understand that the true love inside me reflects to make me detach of the pain and the frustration and the darkness I was going through. And I know many people out there, they release it in many other sense. But I also realize, I've seen, you still come back to the same point that you have to work within yourself. So when I worked on myself, because I was really practicing, I was loving myself. So when I was really practicing, and this was in the transition, the answer came very nicely in the sense for me to understand. It was a sense of peace for me to aware that we cannot run away from the fact of that. And the biggest fear of mankind is, of course, dying. And I personally have walked through one or two times, and I understand the feeling of this. And finally, when suddenly anyone who sees their loved one gone from the very eyes, their whole life change. So it also depends on the mental, how they react. it could be a positive or negative. For me, when, of course, it was a negative, but since my experience is always related to the divine side, so I make sure my mind is in that, because I know nothing else can be able to help me. And that made me stand by past with it, that this is what I need to find my answer. And the answers I found is incredible. It's so beautiful to know that part of life, nothing is permanent. Everything is temporary, which is very difficult for anyone to understand this. But when you love yourself, you're aware this is has an acceptance, and you appreciate every single moment that you're sharing with your family and friends because you value those moments. So because you know that you do not know what's going to happen tomorrow or what's going to happen later, but you value. So always I notice such thing happens. A bigger space of understanding begins in a human mind to value the present. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I feel like you're kind of hitting on the concept in the book. You state a quote in this chapter, the truth of life is the same to all. And I know you just talked about how things are constantly changing, and a lot of people can't cope with the idea of that nothing is permanent. Nothing is, a constant. Things are always evolving, changing in our lives. But this quote, the truth of life is the same to all, you know, I thought that was a very powerful statement in this chapter, in the book itself. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and what that means and explain that to the listeners?
Yeah, sure. I think that particular quote, I believe I've written about willpower, and willpower is actually, it's within all of us, it's an energy base, and it's actually an intervene between the divine, according to the parts that I've talked to and understood. Now, when we do a phone call to the universe in the terms of seeking for help or anything, most of the time when things happen, we always blame, why God did you do this to me? Why me? Why has it to be? Blah, blah, blah. All these things goes on. Now, actually, we have a real power that when we call for help, we need to surrender the whole thing to the feet of the universe or the divine or mighty power, whichever faith that we believe in. And that will reverse the whole inner feelings and the positions that we're holding on. So the willpower that we're holding within ourselves is actually, I believe that every individual is given the full power of what I call as true love to appreciate and use it wisely. Now, sometimes because of ego, individuals do not surrender that because they believe they can do everything by themselves. But unfortunately, the fact is we are related to the universe power, which is, I believe, it's still on the, I'm sure the scientists are still looking the answers for this. But in terms of the spirituality and the new age that's happening now, this fact is beginning to known to many of us. So the truth relates that we cannot escape that. And it will always happen in front of our eyes suddenly. And that makes fear within us, more fearing of life, living life happily. So, but when we realize that is a part of our journey, again, I come back to the value of the present, and we do not allow the fear to take away our beautiful moment to realize that living on earth is beautiful. It's part of what happens in our life. So the truth is, we cannot run away from that. But many of us are unable to accept it. Personally, I was going through it, you know, in life. I'm sure everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's to accepting it. That's what I said. It's the truth. That to accept this is a fact, and how do we deal with it? And I always believe, you know, I have this thing called me, that when I, over the years, when I see anyone, I mean, everybody who cries and rings about, you know, seeing somebody, how could you live this? And I was just, I mean, I just don't understand. I don't know. Maybe you might find me sound weird, or the listeners might find me sound weird. I believe you can cry silently, but by crying, it's not allowing the soul to be gone. We are holding back, you know. It is like we're burdening with our sense of vibration. So I always believe, you wouldn't believe, I told my daughter, I said, if ever, you know, my time has come, I said, Ravina, can you not shed heavily tears on me? She's looking at me and she said, Mom, don't be mad
at me. It's easier said than done.
Yeah, exactly. So I said, I know, it's not easy. But I said, it's good for you and it's good for me because we are connected, we are bonded, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, try. I said, don't ask me this. It's the last thing. Please, Mom. Oh, my God, you and your weird questions. So, yeah, my kid is only, you know, I spoke to her about this about 2-3 years ago when I'm beginning more to get deeper sense. But I said, over the years, I said, you will understand. I'm trying my best to make her understand these things. It's not because eventually she comes back to me and saying that, Mommy, I can't live without you. I said, hello. That's the last thing I want to hear this. You've got to make yourself strong. There's no way that you're going to say you can't live without me. You have to find a way to live. You know, all of us are here for our own reasons to find our connection with the divinity within us. And I'm not here to do that for you. You only have to do it for yourself. So, yeah, that's what I... that's the truth that every of us have to go through.
Well, I totally agree with you. You know, we can't be handed something, you know, as strong as divinity. We do have to find our own divinity, and we have to find that within ourselves, you know, and find that acceptance. And that's not a process that can be handed to us. And that's not a process that, you know, comes easily, but it is our process. Every single one of us has to find that truth within ourselves. You know, it's
exactly.
Work. It's hard work,
yeah.
But it's part of the reason why, you know, I'm sure a lot of us believe we're here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because you mentioned that, you know, putting everything at God's feet and kind of giving it up in an entirety. And that is a very powerful statement in itself. And it's so easily said. It can be so easily accepted. But to do that, I think a lot of people struggle, you know. So
yes.
What would you recommend, or how are you able to do that? You know, lay it all at God's feet, give it all up in His hands, you know, allow Him to take control of the wheel. Because I know us as humans, we always want that level of control.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But surrendering, it's a very, very tough, hard work. And that's because we all have egos. We all have this thing. You know, whenever in the mornings I see there's this quotes that, I always believe in reading good quotes for morning and time of my day. I practice that. And it's always come across this thing called believe in yourself. Now, believe in yourself is a very positive thing. Yes, we got to believe in ourselves. But we also have to believe in ourselves in the sense of that we are connected with the divinity inside us. Now, coming to the explanation which you just asked me, I just give a small scenario. Again, come back to my daughter. I'm not sure whether I've spoken on the last, but I believe I have not yet. This is about, she was going through a moment of her life where she wanted to understand how to uplift her motivations. And again, you know, I just told you that she said, I can't live without you. So it falls back to this particular thing which I keep reminding it to her. I said, when you in my stomach for 9 months, and I believe the last year I've said this, I think, and do you think that I went in and said that, hey, now it's time for me to do your eyes and all this stuff, right? So she said, no. So I said, who do you think is in charge of this? And she said, kept quiet. And she said, God. I said, exactly. So I said, my role was to feed you with my thoughts and feelings. And, of course, whatever I add, you were eating it. But how you were growing into a human being, I was not in charge of that. You became who? It's because you were divine energy inside that. And that's the true love of your oneness with the God within you. So here it is related to whenever we're going through, you know, just this simple thing, it's a very interesting statement to understand. And we keep thinking about it. We go deeper to understand that related to our birth. Excuse me. Related to our birth. And when we see, when we fall into our circumstances in life, and just that moment, switch ourselves to know that how did we came and learn who we are. And to have a belief that the heart that we hold inside us, it beats without us controlling the heartbeat. So when we know this, we know that there is an energy, there's a power inside us that is unconditionally giving us to experience life. When we are aware of this, and we know that it's unconditional love for us. Therefore, that's where comes the understanding to surrender. When you know that, when you realize deep inside you, work on the mindset to know how this heartbeat works. When I try to stop, it doesn't stop. And it, of course, if you stop, you're gone. But it doesn't happen with you. It happens only in the nature, time, and the law of universe. How is that so? When we probe these kind of questions, deeper sense in our heart and mind, we become to understand the relative facts that we are connected to the divine energy in ourselves. And that will relate us to the moment when we go through, we realize that we can surrender to that. So it becomes easier. Because if you don't practice all this, so when you want to surrender, you think you're surrendering, but when the situation becomes worse, then you blame the nature and the universe and say, oh, you're not listening to me. This is not fair. How can that person go through this stuff? And I'm still struggling. How can this is so unfair? I've been doing everything. You know, we have all this communication. And I know they listen. I mean, the divine, the universe, they listen because it's a vibrational sound that we speak about, the way we say things. So surrendering helps remove the negative side and also work as oneness for the law of universe, the divinity inside, to bring the best out of you for you to enjoy your life and to experience love. You see, people forget that they are here to experience love. And, you know, I see many, when I walk across nowadays, I go anywhere, I don't see smiling faces. I see people age when they're 50, 40. You hardly see a smile in their life. But when you see a teenager nowadays, it's also almost the same and compared to those days. The only smiling face you can see is babies, okay, children. That's because they are not been experiencing the experiences of life. Now, as we grow, definitely we could experience the better sense. But when you realize that we have the truth to enjoy, that everything in life is method to us in love, it becomes easier to deal with things. Like negative things that we have to deal with, for example, death, illness, and all those things. So when you surrender, it's a healing process to allow the divine energy to work within us to overcome this step by step. And it also to find out how powerful we are within, because we have the willpower to walk through it. So that is the whole meaning of surrendering. It's totally oneness, to aware that you don't allow your ego of like, okay, I believe in myself, I'm the one, there's no one out there. It's true, I'm not saying it's not, but we have to believe that within us, all about the universe that lives inside us. We connect to that, and that is true love only.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about one of my favorite quotes in this chapter, and I do want to read it for the listeners. You wrote, "The joy of releasing the pain or whatever obstacles are now in you will surely be the beginning to know and understand the journey that is meant for you. You will begin to unfold your own power, unique criteria, values, and beliefs that are hidden in you and are related to the pain being released." I thought that was very interesting and very well written. You know, basically, you know, I think a lot of people do question, wow, I'm going through this, this sucks, or, you know, take it away, or why me? But I think that a lot of people don't give it value to understand, okay, yes, I am going through this, you know, why, you know, to really kind of question that in its whole. You know, we'll throw the question out there, but it's almost like we don't want to hear the answer. Does that make sense? And I feel like you're saying, yeah, if you're going to ask the question, you better expect an answer.
yes.
So, I mean, I don't know if you agree, but that's what I kind of took from that in a way that, you know, you can find out a lot about yourself by releasing that pain and really taking a look at the obstacles. I mean, do you agree with that? Is that why you wrote that? Is that the way you intended that?
Yes, exactly. Because you see, through the pain, we find out more the reality about ourselves. We are built with all these emotion factors inside us, and we have these feelings we deal with within us every day. And most of us do not have the courage to express it out, and so it goes within us. It becomes, you can say sometimes it becomes a disease. It creates non-connection within your true self as well. And then when things start happening negatively more to the surrounding and outside, your life doesn't come in the right purpose, what in the sense you feel it is supposed to be, and that's where you blame it all again, the outside stuff. You know, we kind of do that. So through the pain and frustrations that we go through, I mean, not only through that, and also we have relationship failures and whatsoever, that whole factors makes us come back, okay, what it is that I have to deal with it in here? Because it's very easy for us to blame everything to the universe and to the other party that this has happened because of you, this happened because of stuff like that. We expect changes from other side, but we don't expect changes within us. That is totally not in connection with the law of universe that is existed within us. To experience the nature where we align ourselves with the universe and the divinity and the divine and the true love of all concept is, we need to understand first ourselves. What is our inner mind of the heart or whatever that is projecting? So let's say we are facing through the pain. So we begin to understand that what is the belief pattern that we are carrying this that is reflecting to the pain that we have this. And then when we work on the belief pattern, okay, what sort of belief that I have? Oh, I'm always losing love. So, okay, then definitely we will be experiencing a lot of losing love in every sense. You could be losing your wallet. You could be losing your car. So it comes in many different directions. Why? Because we're holding this particular belief pattern. So basically, every negative thing that we go through is just a learning aspect of ourselves, that what the divine inside us is trying to show, that we've got to remove it, so that we experience the joy and peace and love that what we wish to experience on earth while we are being alive. So the simple fact is just that even when we say in our mind, oh, I'm good enough, but the feelings doesn't relate to that. You're not opening up, you're not surrendering. It's not going to happen as well. So every negative aspect that happens in life, it opens up to the great secret of the inner self, which no one can understand from outside, because it's only got to do with the person, with us. We is only us, because we are the one who's working in ourselves every day to experience everything in life. So, yeah, it is actually very important to aware not to curse the pain or the frustration we go to a negative. I mean, I'm not saying you can't curse it to let out your frustration, but I'm saying that to accept it. When you realize, okay, I got to do something about this and I got to change myself in order for me to not go through this because it's affecting me, my body, and whatsoever. So when we come to that, to relate to ourselves, for us to deal with. And slowly, slowly, we begin to know that falling in love through this way, it becomes more prominent. Changes become more easier to accept. And it seems like, oh, the sunset is much more, wow, powerful than you ever seen before. Yeah, this kind of thing you start reflecting when we go through.
You know, so it's funny because... you keep talking about the word truth, and you've said it a lot this evening. And I know in the chapter... you talk about the truth behind your relationship with yourself and your parents. And you state in the chapter, you know, it took you years to come to that truth. You know, do you think that people can relate to that statement or that experience? You know, that it takes years to kind of come to those facts, to those truths behind, you know, the those situations that, you know, you lose someone and you're not going to instantly know what's going on, you know, or instantly understand it, you know, that it takes time. It's a process, you know. What knowledge or I guess what experience about that can you share with the listeners? Because, you know, like I said, you talk about truth, finding yourself, you know, and I feel like the listeners, you know, want to know how to do that.
Yes, of course. I mean, everybody is like have their inner truth of understanding what is their existence meant for them in this life. So the first relationship we have is, of course, ourselves, and that we will not know until we are aware that our mother, father is the core of everything because they are made us who we are. And along the way, we lose anybody. It affects the mental state very much. It affects the emotion state. It's like, you know, the branch of a tree, a big branch is chopped off, or some part of the root is gone, and that affects a lot of the inner being. And so the loss will pull it down, you know, will pull it down of individual to not walk happily ever after again. And so this truth, like I said, everybody is going through it in every sense, in many ways. It's very difficult to pass through. Like you said before, it's hard work. Oh, yes. It's major hard work to deal with within it. One thing is like my mom, my real mother, having her lost at age of 5, and I was angry with her because actually she knew that she cannot conceive, and she was, you know, she conceived to another child. And I was told that to give me a brother and sister and stuff like that, and that's why he decided to have it, and even my dad didn't know about this fact. So it hit him very badly. And over the years, as I began to understand that how she died and why she died, it hit me even more angrily that how could she do this when she knows she couldn't conceive easily, when she has me also, it was very difficult. And instead of understanding her relationship with me, that she's my mom, I was becoming angry with her because what I was facing, all I was going through. So that made me more angry with her than anyone else. And, of course, when I had a divine voice, that is what the first thing I did to realize that I have to ask forgiveness since I need to not have this. Because this is her journey, which is not related to me. But I made it related to me that it caused me a lot of discomfort and hurt and pain and a lot of nonsense I have to go through. But because I felt it was a selfish thing. But for the outer factor, people were saying, it's only because of you that she has to go. So I had to live with this every day in my life in those moments. That, hey, I didn't know that she wanted to get just for me. I didn't ask her to get a brother and sister for me. So why am I being blamed that for? So when you know, it is also like, to really you have to deal with, you don't have the mother to be with you. And on top of it, you have to deal with a lot of the things. It's a lot of the mind perceptions that we have. This is all the peers of another, you know, you go through the environment. How to deal with this? So that's why when the divine, you know, came down and I was, to ask what was really true love means. Because I was really figuring out what was this all about? Why do I have to go through all this suffering? It's not fair to me. I didn't ask my dad to get married. I didn't ask her to go. I didn't ask her why as a child. And I was going to go through all this thing and being blamed for things that it's not my fault. So, you see, I couldn't able to tell all this to my father because I know it's going to be a more burden to him, because even for him it was very difficult. So who do we talk to? It falls back that you have to talk to the divine, which scientifically people think is psycho. But, you know, that's the only thing we can fall upon to, because we know the existence ourselves. It's related to God. It cannot be anyone else. Who can it be with? Because every human has its limitations. Everybody can say and share. Okay, I believe, yeah, we find comfort. We have good friends to be with us. Certain people in our lives to make us go to this part. But it doesn't erase the feeling of the pain, the suffering, the comfort that we have to go through, especially what I've gone through over the years. So the answer I got is only to love myself, because I'm here I found my life, and I have God within me, and I have the universe inside me that making me experience. If I don't do that, I'm going to allow every day in my life all these facts haunt me. It's not going to allow me to experience the joy and beauty what life wished to offer me. Even I've read Louise Hay's book, and she explains in one of her books, Heal Your Life, and she says the relationship with parents is got to do with ourselves and to heal. I mean, it depends on individual whether they believe in past life, but it's to heal. So they are here, we pick them for a reason, to ignite the power we have for ourselves, to understand. But we are not our parents. And that is what I started practicing and understanding. It's like, I'm not carrying the karma of my parents. And whatever they are going through or they went through, it has got to do with their understanding, their perception, and their belief system. So what relates me and them is the love of unconditional. It's a relationship to heal, to grow from here, to learn and unlearn so that we grow more stronger every day, be more detached. The whole thing about life is to be peaceful. And in order to receive the peace within me, that's what I started practicing. Loving, the true love, and understand the truth, this is life. Accept it. You can't run away from this. I keep telling that to myself every day in my life. So yeah, that's how I explain the whole thing. That's how I mean, it takes time for everyone to walk through this. But trust me, you work on yourself, you read books, you do your prayers, you heal, you be with nature, you find the answers, what you need for yourself.
You know, you talk a lot about your mom, too, and I know you had a very short time with your mom, and yet you talk a lot about what people say about her in the chapter, you know, that she was very positive, she was a wonderful woman, you know, and that she did seem to leave an impact on you, and the things that people are telling you are leaving an impact on you. How do you think that that kind of applies to other people? You know, do you think that we're impacted even after somebody is gone? You know, that we continue to find that truth and we continue to find that true love?
I have seen not only in my life, but many. I mean, especially when a parent dies or parents die, and it just leaves a scar and a mark and question marks, you know, on the individual being. And when that happens, of course, the answers begin because the pain is too deep, you know, because it relatively is related. But of course, when it comes to an orphanage, they don't know who their parents are. And that's even more worse. So they will go through to understand. And actually, some of them are very much more stronger because they find answers over the years. So people like us that we have, we are quite blessed. We have a certain part of our life, our parents with us. My experience for, you see, all these years I put in my mind, and because of all these perceptions that I've been receiving, I believe that I didn't have that love for my mother. But after loving myself and understanding what is love all about inside, and I've got an insight, I was like, wow, I just realized the first 5 years of my life, I had her with me. And that was a very important factor for every human being, because that's why we develop ourselves. When a baby grows, you know, your mother's milk, the nurture, her presence, it becomes a significance, because most of us cannot even have our mother's feelings. But having the first 5 years is very important. So when I realized that, it made me very happy. And knowing that, hey, I should be very thankful. That means the first 5 years is my subconscious mind, somehow or other, the depth inside me, even I couldn't recall, but it's always there. And, you know, and it makes me feel that I'm her. Because naturally, you see, in the presence of having my second mother, I was not able to remember her or wasn't even talked about her. And of course, when I go out, I see some of her friends will tell me, you know, your mother is so beautiful and she was an amazing woman. She cooks beautiful. I mean, she cooks tasty food and she's a perfect woman. Yeah, like for my dad as well, because she was good in the kitchen. She's a businesswoman and she laughs at all. And I have one of my grandmothers who said, you know, when she comes, it's like the neighborhood will know that she's coming because she starts laughing and laughing. And she has impacted life in the family and friends, of her presence, of being vibrant and loving. So when she's gone, it was a shock to many. So the expectation of me, of them, like, oh, I'm her daughter. But after a while, I felt that I'm not existed in the presence of that whole. Because if she was alive, I felt that I'm more in presence of her. Oh, she is mom's daughter. But when she's gone, I didn't experience that presence of feelings among all the people. I only heard, and I felt that, oh, okay, it's my responsibility to keep her name and her feelings, and I hope I don't spoil her name. So it became very, you know, I felt that it's my responsibility because she has marked herself very well that I don't hear any single negative word until today. So I felt quite challenging for me because I came through for such background. So how do, over the years, I keep failing and I keep doing things that doesn't make sense to anyone. I felt like a black sheep in the family. It was like, wait, what's all this about? That is where, when I found out that the first 5 years I had with her, that became a very prominent truth for me, that no one else can take it away from me. And I'm sure that many out there will understand what I'm saying, who has also went through what I'm going through, or even an orphanage will understand. Why? Because when you know your mom or a parent has been with you a certain kind of time, you feel good. You kind of console yourself on that. And it becomes, slowly it starts thinking of the truth that, okay, yeah. So it doesn't make me undefined from her. I mean, I was matured, so I'm not different. I'm not the bad chick. I'm after her daughter. People have forgotten. I have not. But I appreciate it all along. That's the relationship. The true love that comes from there makes me more bonding with her until today. I was afraid even to write her name anywhere. So, because, you know, I didn't want to put down my second mom and all that. So that relationship was very difficult for me. Because, you know, you don't impact. And already, I was like a person who's like, oh, I'll keep doing these things not right or whatever. And I keep getting this scolding. So, yeah. That's why it made me lack of love within me all over the years. All this perception was moving around me. But true love, when I found out how to love myself, and when I walked through it, it created further bonding inside me, the energy within me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know that we're starting to get really low on time. So I definitely wanted to go over one last quote that you talked about in this chapter. You wrote, I never stop communicating with God in any form I can find. That is the only key to keep going and know my true love is my relationship with myself. No matter how deep or grave the pain, God will never let us go. The acceptance and deserving love we have for ourselves will confirm the step we make for ourselves, either for betterment or another block to remove. And I believe you left the chapter this way. So I thought that it'd be a good way to bring the show to a close this evening. But I thought that that was a very powerful statement. And it was a very beautiful statement, too. You know, and I think it's so true. You know, either we'll make that step forward to better ourselves and find the truth, or, you know, we'll create another block. But even in the block, we can have a truthful learning experience. So, you know, I wanted you to kind of talk about that, you know, before we ended the show for this evening.
Oh, I would love to. Life is full of ups and downs. It's not a straight way. That's what I was start sharing here. So I used to think that being in this sense of loving myself and true love and stuff, or everything is perfect. But along the way, I've experienced challenges as well. So what I've learned, we need to keep in connect all the time with the divine inside us, with the universe, whatever we think that's an exist power within us. That's where it relates back to belief in ourselves. Because when we believe in that existence within us, so it actually eases off many hurdles that we will walk through, or we have walked. And when that happens, we begin to learn more of ourselves. When we come across certain obstacles, some of us do mistakes. and we don't forgive ourselves. And when that happens, it creates a lot of problems to the self and the environment. So relationship problems, money problems, illnesses all come about. Bottom line is, when we keep on communicating with the God within us, He listens, or she listens, power listens, whichever sense you will, they listen. It will come when the heart is open and the mind is willing to believe there is a sense of miracle every day in life. We get our answers in any way. We just need to see, even a small, simple thing is a significance of the existence that the universe are willing to help us walk through it. No, I believe there's no higher power that wishes us to cry every day or wishes us to go through agony or give us all the sufferings that we go through. It's only a man-made belief pattern. That's what my true belief is. And when we, if we look across above all these things, that there's a meaning behind all this, it becomes simpler to see how life is all about. It becomes easier to love yourself, and another person. It becomes easier to enjoy the moment when after 5 minutes you just cry so deeply for something. It happens to me. Immediately I'm healed and anyway I feel good, and the next thing I keep on going like as if nothing has happened. Why? Because it's gone. So that's the relationship we should continue to have within us, and never stop communicating with the divine, higher power, wherever we may call. And because that's the truth that nobody else can take away from us. So that's what I'm sharing, Kelly. I hope that this particular chapter can help many people out there, because I know every single being on earth is going through a different way of understanding what life is all about, especially it's got to do with that, or losing the loved one, or even illness in any sense. So when we look on ourselves, it's easier to deal with it. Especially when loving ourselves, it gives us power to move on to the next chapter.
Well, with that, I want to thank you for allowing me to discuss this chapter with you this month. And thank you so much for all of that amazing information for the listeners.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Always got me. I'm so looking forward for our next radio show. And it gives me a great pleasure to share my experiences so it may help another being. Because after all, we are one big family on earth and we are love. That's the whole thing of life is all about.
Well, I want to wish you a wonderful rest of the month and, you know, definitely enjoy the rest of your day. I know in Malaysia, it's day, whereas here in the United States, it's nighttime. So you enjoy the, you enjoy the rest of your day, okay?
Yes. Malaysia is very late morning and, yeah, it's kind of gloomy. It's been a rainy day the last few days. So, yes. And I'm sure Michigan, is it still cold out there or is it rising? I mean,
It's been kind of weird. We've had some cold days and then all of a sudden it started to get warm out. So I think it's trying to figure out what it wants to do.
maybe we all should bless the nature and say, dear Lord, thank you for giving us a beautiful energy through this wonderful weather, whichever it is meant for us.
Well, thank you so much, and you have a wonderful rest of the month, okay?
Okay, thank you, Courtney. Till we meet next time, and love you, and lots of hugs, and lots of hugs to everyone. Bless the year ahead with lots of good stuff, gratitude, and forgiveness.
Oh, thank you. And if you're just tuning in, you're tuning in to True Love, Empower Your Inner Self. If you would like to learn more about the book, Truly Love Me by Krim, you can go to bodymindspiritradio.com and click on her show. You can also go to krimlove.com where you can actually purchase the book. Stay tuned for next month. We will be discussing chapter 4 of her book, which is Trust to Forgive. Everybody have a wonderful rest of the evening, a wonderful rest of the month, and until next time, bye-bye.